Step 2. Find and build a trusted community. It's easy to make unwise decisions in a vacuum. Surrounding yourself with people you trust who also trust in Jesus can help when trying to figure out what God is telling you. Like it says in Proverbs 11 verse 14, wise counsel can bring safety and clarity to your life and point you back to God. An easy way to find your people is to join a group. Find one that works for you using ICB's Group Finder. Step 3. Listen to God's voice. When we look to God for answers, one of the best choices we can make is to be still and listen for His voice. That means slowing down, silencing our heart, removing our screens, and really listening for what He's telling us. God rarely speaks in a booming voice. We have to quiet ourselves to hear Him clearly. No matter what situation you're facing, you can always depend on God's faithfulness and love for you. If you're wondering how to practically hear from God, check out this article on 3 ways we can hear God's voice. Seeing Jesus with clarity. Though it is quite clear that the gospel authors did not compose their works with a strict chronology in mind, this does not mean that they were arranged haphazardly. The gospels were assembled with careful forethought, often to draw out certain theological themes. For example, right in the middle of Mark 8, Mark juxtaposes several stories together, which at first glance may seem to have nothing to do with one another. First, there is a conversation between Jesus and his disciples in a boat on the way back after a testy exchange with the Pharisees. Jesus warns them, "Beware the yeast of the Pharisees." V. 15. The disciples are puzzled by this remark, assuming he is referring to literal bread. In his reply, Jesus asks them, "Do you have eyes and fail to see?" V. 18a. Second, Mark places the story of Jesus curing a blind man in Bethsaida. Jesus puts saliva on the man's eyes and asks, "Can you see anything?" The man affirms that his sight has improved, but he cannot see with clarity. Again, Jesus lays hands on him, and now his sight is perfectly restored. Immediately following this, Jesus has another private conversation with his disciples on the way to Caesarea Philippi. He asks them the question they have been agonizing over, "Who do you say that I am?" Peter boldly declares, "You are the Messiah." And yet, moments later, after attempting to reprimand Jesus for suggesting that he would suffer and be killed, Peter is rebuked by Jesus, "Get behind me, Satan. For you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." V. 33. Mark wants us to associate the blind man in this story with Peter. The blind man's sight came in 2 stages. After Jesus first lays hands on him, his sight improves, but he still cannot see with clarity. But after Jesus lays hands on him the second time, his sight is now flawless. What does this have to do with Peter?